Show. Joining us in our studios, we have Superintendent Dr. Matt Hillman. Matt, good morning.
Yes, and listeners, I just want to let you know I helped you avoid a catastrophe. Jeff just offered I could be here for an entire hour, and I just don't think anyone would want that.
Tim McNiff is not in today. He's got something going on. So
yeah, we don't want people to change the channel, Jeff, so I am not going to be on here for an hour.
Yeah, well, you might have to talk Twins baseball a little bit and maybe the legislature. And I know you got it in you. You got an hour.
Well, this is true. My mother always said I have the gift of gab.
Yeah. Let's talk about school stuff, though. Why don't we start off with, you know, we had talked a while back about Northfield hiring a new building and grounds director. Have you done that now?
We have, and just, you know, Cole Nelson had been our buildings and grounds director for the last couple of years. He had come to us from the Rochester schools, where he had been an assistant construction manager. Cole did an amazing job for us for the last couple of years, and we all know that the private construction industry is pretty busy, and you know, to quote one of my favorite movies, he did have an offer he couldn't refuse in private industry, so you know, he lives down in that Rochester area, and there was an opportunity that he had been recruited for, and so we just thank Cole for his incredibly capable service, and we were so lucky to have him for the time that we did. He made a substantial difference in our school district, and we're really proud of his service. But, you know, just like everything else, we say thank you and then we move ahead. And so last week, and the board approved last night that Justin Robbley will be our new director of buildings and grounds. And people who are listening say, hey, I think I know that name. And you do, because Justin's a 1996 graduate of Northfield High School. And he also currently serves as a captain in the Northfield Area Fire and Rescue Department. So a great skilled individual with local ties, some great leadership capacity. He's currently serving as our master electrician. You know, Justin was in private industry for quite some time. And then he owned his own business. He worked for other construction providers. And he also did some stints as an electrician with both Carleton and St. Olaf Colleges. And so he came to us a little more than a year ago as our district's master electrician. And it just all aligned. And he was our committee's choice to move forward as our next director of buildings and grounds. So we're very excited about someone who does know the system, you know, knows the buildings, knows the equipment, knows the community. And, you know, the director of buildings and grounds, that position, you know, continues to have more responsibility around emergency response. And so Justin's connection with the fire department, we think, is going to be an incredible asset to the district. So we're very excited. In fact, today will be his first day. So we're very excited to have Justin as our new director of buildings and grounds.
Well, congratulations, Justin. Looks like he's got to be in capable hands.
Absolutely.
It is May the 23rd today. I don't know if we'll talk to you again before graduation, the commencement ceremonies, and that is coming up. Is that June the, I want to say 9th?
It's the 11th.
The 11th, okay.
But we remember we have two graduation ceremonies. So the Northfield Area Learning Center will graduate its students on Friday, June 2nd, and that's going to be in the middle school auditorium at 6 p.m. And Jeff, this is one of my favorite events of the year. You know, the Area Learning Center is a smaller group of students who graduate. And they are able to have each student come on stage and teachers give a little bit of a testimony about their perseverance and the work that they've done to graduate. It's just a very heartwarming event. So that's coming up on June 2nd. And then, of course, on June 11th is the Northfield High School graduation at Memorial Field, 2 o'clock. And we know KYMN will be live streaming that, and we appreciate that partnership so that people around the world who have graduates will be able to tune in and watch their whoever they have as part of our graduating class have that momentous occasion and that life transition point for these young people, which we're so excited for.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I'm glad we can bring it to the people once again here on KYMN. Let's move into last night's school board meeting. You've got the clock is ticking on getting budgets and such together. And that's something that the school district has been working on for quite some time. Did they all get finalized last night?
The budgets did get finalized. So as you said, Jeff, we have a tradition of we have five different budgets that are approved, actually six. One was approved back in March. That's our operating capital budget. So we approved that budget earlier so that our Buildings and Grounds Department and Technology Services Department can get moving on getting summer work ready to go, because, of course, from the time students leave to the time they return is a fairly short window. So we approved that operating capital budget earlier in March so that we can get those projects signed and moving. And then we then present each of the other funds over a period of time. So the internal service fund that governs our dental and health insurance, the debt service fund, that's the account that we use to pay off our debt in terms of a voter-approved bond referenda and then other smaller board-approved projects, our community education budget, our child nutrition budget, and then, of course, the big one, which is our general fund budget. So the board then approves all of those at the same time, which they did last night. And as I said, you know, the last time, we are proposing our first a positive budget in since just before the pandemic. And, you know, I want to thank the community. I think you can be proud of a process like our budget prioritization process. We can be proud of the way it was inclusive and really brought a number of voices to the table over the last couple of years, and not like the outcome, right? So we know getting to this first net positive budget that we've had since 2019 really came from a lot of hard work, pain, some loss that we have moving forward. This, coupled with the legislative improvements that we talked about last week, is really going to stabilize the district's budget. So, you know, we aren't restoring things that we had reduced because this is part of the stabilization process, and now we move forward. And so the budgets are done for next year, and I just really appreciate everyone's leaning into these very difficult conversations at this particular point. And I'm very optimistic about the future.
When we had you in last week, the legislature had just passed that, I think the day before or 2 days before. So now that you've had a week and you've got the budget done, did you learn anything more about what was in that legislative package? Does that have any short-term effect on Northfield? Did it make you change anything within the budget cycle?
You would really like me here for an hour, wouldn't you, Jeff? So last night, as we all know, late last night, the legislature did adjourn.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were in last week, Jeff, I talked to you about, you know, it's a 300-page bill, right?
Yeah,
for just for K-12 education, right? The summary that we got is 12 pages long. So I think the more that I think about this, I understand people have a variety of perspectives about legislative sessions. Totally reasonable. I think it's fair to say it's sweeping. That's what I said last week. I still say it today. I think that there are many things that are going to challenge us in a lot of ways. We've talked about the financial components. That's, of course, a large part of it. But there's also pages and pages of policy updates and new curriculum requirements. There's less unfunded mandates than I think some people would have thought there might have been. But there's some underfunded mandates. And I'm actually quite excited about the possibility that these changes hold. I think any time that you have this kind of sweeping legislation, it also can promote some modernization in some other adjacent areas. And so we are excited to lean into these required changes, figure out what makes the most sense here in Northfield, where we do have a little bit of autonomy in some of those areas. And we're excited to see for what the future holds. So some of those things, you know, we talked about the finances last week, Jeff, 4% on the formula in the first year of the biennium, 2% in the second year. And then, of course, indexing to the formula to inflation is a substantial improvement. The 44% funding of the special education cross subsidy, that's not of all special education costs. To be clear, we're not even close yet to the 40% of the total costs that the federal government promised in the mid-1970s. But for the amount that we've been taking out of our general fund, 44% that's coming back to us, that's about $1.7 million for Northfield. The board ability, the authorization for locally elected school boards to renew an operating levy under the same terms and conditions that the voters approved one time is a great innovation. It's just good governance. And, you know, we just know almost everyone, and I say almost everyone because maybe there's one I'm not aware of, but almost every operating levy renewal has passed in the last decade, and so that's just good governance. Then when we look into some of the curriculum areas, there's going to be some changes, and as I shared, the READ Act is really a impressive reform bill that really takes into account the latest research in structured literacy and how we teach reading. It also leverages the University of Minnesota to help make sure that the program is producing the results that it hoped for. There's also some changes coming. Every student, Jeff, will be required to take a personal finance course in grades 10, 11, or 12, beginning with the 24-25 school year. There's a move of requiring that civics be taught in grades 11 or 12. Currently in Northfield and in most districts across Minnesota, civics is taught in ninth grade. The logic there is that if I'm taking civics closer to when I'm eligible to vote, that awakening of students in terms of developing their political perspectives on their own, that civics course and how our government works is a good timing for that. There will be some substantial changes that are going to be a little further out in terms of some required ethnic studies standards. And so the state will be developing ethnic studies standards over the next couple of years. We'll be required to provide that instruction for students in grades K through 8. And then students in high school must be offered a course. There must be an offering. They're not required to take it. And there's still a lot of transition. So the legislature passes. The governor will sign. My understanding is the governor will sign the education bill tomorrow. And then the Department of Education takes that legislation and gives school districts guidance on how to implement it. So quite a few curriculum pieces, some other policy things. Like I said, we could talk for, we might as well just meter it out over the next few shows. 12 pages of summary, Jeff.
Wow, that is a sweeping bill, as you had mentioned. Is that, you have been in education, public education, for a lot of years now. Is this the biggest legislative change event that's happened in 25 years or so, the 21st century?
I would argue that it's the most sweeping, holistic set of reforms probably since the Minnesota Miracle. This isn't quite, we're not going to go as far as calling this the second Minnesota Miracle, because there's some things that we could have done more of, right? We could have done 100% of the special education cross subsidy. We could have done more on the formula in the first 2 years, but we just say thank you. We're just celebrating those huge structural improvements to school finance. But I do think it's the most substantial education session probably since the early 1970s holistically. Mm-hmm. I think there's some other sessions where there were a specific reform that had a big difference. For example, when in the late 1990s, early 2000s, when we started to move into standardized testing within schools in Minnesota, along with the No Child Left Behind Act, I think that was a very significant change. But it was one change, right, that had a tremendous amount of impact. This has literally dozens of things that are going to have substantial impact over time. And I'm a fan of a management writer named Peter Senge, and a quote that I love from him is, "Today's problems are caused by yesterday's solutions." And so as we move ahead, I fully anticipate that there are going to be problems that we have to solve related to the things that were passed in this legislative session. But what we're going to do is we're going to lean in. We're going to do the best that we can to follow the law. We're going to do the best that we can to implement these pieces, to take advantage of the resources that have been provided us, to have a more stable budget so that we're able to do good things for kids with all of that money over the next few years. And again, maintain our finances. We still have a challenge here in Northfield. Declining enrollment is a really big deal. So we have the formula indexed to inflation. Now we need to work on how do we make sure that we can stabilize our enrollment. And in the short term, we know that that's a housing issue here in Northfield. So lots of things coming down the pike. We know that they'll repair some of the issues that were unintentionally created in upcoming legislative sessions. But I really think that it does go to show that legislative reform can have some substantial impact.
I like the READ program that they've enacted.
Very good.
Yesterday, we had Hope Langston in from the Northfield School District to talk about Northfield's the letters program.
Yep.
Here in Northfield, and we've talked about that.
Absolutely.
Before. Really some exciting developments in the way kids are taught and, you know, some realizations about the way kids learn and tailoring a curriculum for that. Good stuff. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where we continue to learn more about the human brain. And the more that we learn about the human brain and how we learn things, the more that we need to try to take that research and apply it in how we teach students. And that's exactly what we're doing with the READ Act and the letters program. And the good news with the READ Act is Northfield, we're quite a bit ahead of others, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on with our conversation here. we had talked a week or two ago, one of the more recent times you were in, about the iPads, the leasing of them and getting those leases renewed. Did you do that last night?
We did, and the board did renew the iPad lease last night. Again, a little different in terms of just the volume of our compared to our last lease. So with declining enrollment, we can lease less devices. So we're leasing around 4,000 devices as opposed to the 4,200 that we did in the past. We are going to be able to continue to be one-to-one. So every student in the district, K-12, will have their own iPad, and we'll switch these out this fall when students return. We have been providing something that's called the Logitech Crayon for people who are listening. It's a less expensive version of the Apple Pencil. And in our last lease, we did provide that for every student K-12. What we've learned in the last lease over the last few years is that that accessory is used substantially for students in middle school and high school as they're taking notes and interacting with the iPad in that way. Less so in the elementary school. So we aren't leasing, or we're not including in the lease, the Logitech Crayon for K through fifth grade students, but we're going to use the ones that we already have, and teachers will be able to check out class sets of those from their media center, so they would still have access. But we're leveraging that investment that we had previously made. 6th through 12th grade students will get a new Logitech Crayon. Of course, leasing the cases, a good quality case. And you know what we know is moving forward, technology is not going backwards. We know that we need to continue to work on all of us, right? Adults, students, everyone, with digital discipline. How do we make sure that we utilize these tools for our betterment, right? And we look at trying to use our devices in an active learning methodology as opposed to a passive methodology. And so we it'll be very similar to what it has been. Just we'll have a newer device that will be reliable. And we found that when we lease these devices and we turn them over every few years, we have less issues. Students are able to use them as a tool and are able to move forward and leverage them for their own learning in a lot of different ways that it can be very individualized to them.
You mentioned the students will be getting those in the fall when they report to school. In the meantime, who sets those up? Do they come loaded with the programs that you need, or is this the IT department's summer of of downloading all this stuff? Are they responsible for getting everything? And because a fifth grader is going to need different things than a 12th grader.
Yes.
How does that all work?
So when we go all the way back to the first lease that we did in around 2013, I think, Jeff, that was the first. We weren't in the first group of schools, but we were in that first wave of schools that adopted this kind of one-to-one technology. And back in those days, I think my own children might have some negative memories of that. They unboxed all those cases, and they, you know, and we, there was a lot more hands-on management back in that early days where we literally had to set up every single device. The technology and the software has improved so much that we do have a great management system that, you know, once a student puts in their credentials, it does give them access to all of the things that they need. And, you know, kids are digital natives, so it's not a hard thing for them to do. But it is our IT team's work to do over this summer. And a lot of that is going to be inventorying. The last lease, we were able to pay for a service to do the inventory for us in terms of, you know, basically putting the devices in the case and putting the inventory stickers, the labels on each one. The cost of that has just dramatically increased. So we did not include that in this lease. But Jeff, going back to when I started with the district in 2009, we have roughly the same amount of IT staff right now than we did in 2009. And you think about in 2009, we had computer labs in every building. Using a computer at that time was an event, you know, for many students. And so now that it is integrated you think about how our IT staff, again, roughly the same number of people as it was back then, now manage, you know, 4,000 student devices, teacher laptops and teacher iPads and all of the other technology that we have in our school to effectively run education, you know, now it's the 21st and a quarter century, right? We got to stop saying, well, we're almost 25 years into the 21st century. So our Nate Knutson, who is our director of technology services, has been with the district since, I think, 2004 or so. and has done just a great job of getting this piece ready. Of course, Val Murdestorf in our finance department, outstanding with the numbers to make sure that it all can work within our operating capital budget. And that's important. The iPad lease does not come from the general fund. It comes from our operating capital separate funds, highly regulated, as we've talked about a number of times. Mm-hmm. But as we move into the future, ChatGPT and artificial intelligence is another technology revolution that we are wading into. The students that we have right now are the genie on artificial intelligence is not going back into the bottle. So it's our job to prepare our students for their future, not our past. And so part of it is having access to technology, equitable access to technology, all of the challenges that go with that, right? Schools will always be on the front line, or what are the things that are challenging the adults and how they raise their children? And I know that many people have reasonable questions about personal technology and how do we have that discipline with it in our lives that we're able to put it down when we need to. But I also think that we just have to prepare kids for the world they're going to be in, not the one that we would like it to be.
You know, I was going to not open the can of worms about artificial intelligence, at least not today, but I am curious as to how you think that might affect the future. We don't need to answer that today because, well, you will be here for an hour.
I think it'd be a great discussion. I think with John Olson as well, I think, you know, he has such a great perspective. And I do think it's a well worth discussion. It is a seminal moment. It does feel different. And I will tell you, I did have an interaction with the first artificial intelligence ChatGPT thing that I downloaded. It wasn't the actual ChatGPT, but the first question I asked Jeff, no shock to you, give me the history of the Minnesota Twins. It's not perfect yet because apparently we missed a World Series championship because this version of the artificial intelligence database said we had won something. We had won the World Series in 2021. And I said, you know, I was busy at that time, but I'm pretty sure we wouldn't have missed a Twins World Series win. So as much as there's some excitement and a lot of things coming down the line, of course, there's going to be those growing pains.
All right. We'll have a conversation about that sometime in the future. Now let's talk about sports. We had talked about sports funding, you know, middle school and you know, maybe some different options you can have and maybe even raise the fees to save some of the programs. What was the final outcome of that, at least during last night's meetings?
Yes. So we did talk and approve last night separately from the budget the increases to the activity fees. And so our activity fees really had been separate, you know, looking at it grades 6 through 8 and then through 9 through 12, some 7-12 if they were sports that included 7th and 8th graders at the varsity level. We, in the very difficult decisions that we were trying to make around the budget, one of the original proposals was to eliminate middle school activities as they were and replace them with a community education intramural program. We heard very clearly from the community that was not okay. So for people who think that the decisions that the school district makes are done before, you know, they even get out of the gate, this is a great example of, no, we propose things, we hear from the public, and in this case, they said, we cannot change that middle school activities program. So please look at things like raising the fees to be able to keep these. And so we did a holistic overview or overhaul of those activity fee rates last night. And so we are following through on what we said we would do. So just some examples of some of the levels of increase. So for example, you're going to see baseball move from $188 per student to $285. You're going to see something like clay target, a very popular activity, move from an $86 fee to a $130 fee. You're going to see things like Knowledge Bowl, a non-athletic activity which we dominate in, move from $80 to $120. So you're going to see that kind of increase. And we're trying to take into account, you know, there are some athletics that involve a greater amount of cost versus others, right? So just the examples that I gave there, for example, if you take a look at Alpine Ski, a lot of transportation involved in that. That one's going to move from $296 to $445. Now, this is to try to mitigate those kinds of difference in costs.
To be clear, are we still talking just middle school?
No, this is this everything. Is, we're looking
everything,
at
all the way through. Okay.
Well, we're taking a little bit of a different approach. Rather than segmenting those fees at the two different levels, we're trying to look at them more holistically, 6 through 12, so that we are able to, because it is a system, right? It is a 6 through 12 grade system. And so looking at them a little bit more holistically was the approach that we took. So those activity fees, we know that they're more. This is what we had heard from the community. If you're listening and you know you are interested in providing some scholarship dollars, I know our booster club would always accept donations. They've been very helpful in creating some scholarship funds. And of course, you can also contact our school district finance office if you'd like to make a donation to be able to help offset some fees for students and from families who may not be able to afford the ability to participate in these activities. We are committed. We won't turn away any kid who wants to participate, right? But we're going to need our community to help out with some of those scholarships.
Superintendent Dr. Matt Hillman is our guest now. We're talking about last night's school board meeting and some other things associated with the school district. Matt, I think that's all that's on my list. Do you have anything else you would like to add?
I just do want to call out the two cooperative sponsorships that we voted on last night, Jeff. So we have a long history of having some athletic cooperative sponsorships with Arcadia Charter School. We're their authorizer, as you know. So we did approve a girls swim and dive cooperative sponsorship with them last night. And then as a result of declining enrollment, we are also, the board voted to dissolve the boys hockey cooperative sponsorship with Randolph last night. We were able to have a cooperative sponsorship where Randolph students were able to participate on our boys hockey team. We had two student athletes from Randolph who had participated. Unfortunately, when they did the reclassification, the way that we have to add the enrollment from Randolph, it's not their entire enrollment, but it's a percentage of their enrollment, it kicked us over into double A. And so there's two classes in hockey, single A and double A. And as you know, our hockey teams have done very well the last few years, our boys team making it to state this year. And so when we look at serving our residents, we're about doing good things for kids. So we were happy to do that cooperative sponsorship for years because it didn't affect the placement that we had in our competitive section placement. Unfortunately, now counting the Randolph enrollment would kick us over into double A, which we do think has an adverse effect on our resident student athletes. So our board did vote last night to dissolve that boys hockey cooperative sponsorship with Randolph. I do feel badly for that. We've enjoyed having those Randolph students as part of our team for quite some time now. But we have to look at what's best for our resident students. In this case, because the section placements have already been announced, the Randolph board will need to take action. If they approve the dissolution, then we will drop back to single A. If they don't, we will play 1 year in double A and then return to single A the following season. So just to make sure people are aware of that. That's an effect of declining enrollment to a certain extent.
Yeah. All right. Matt, thank you so much for coming in today.
My pleasure.
Much appreciated. And we'll talk to you once again in a couple of weeks. Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. You're listening to 95.1 FM and AM 1080 KYMN Northfield.